Good evening, everybody. Guten Chodesh. We left off in the middle of all the topics. There are some rich Tosfos in here. I have a lot to say. I'll say over part of what the Tosfos says. We know the Rabbi Natam explained the Gemara in Ksubis by pointing out that there are two types of Shibudim. There's a Shibud Aguf and Shibud Nechosim. Shibud Aguf means I borrowed money, I borrowed $1,000, so I owe you $1,000. I bought merchandise worth $1,000, I have to pay $1,000. I was mazik your property, my behemoth was mazik your property. So I'm responsible to pay. That's a Shibud Aguf. Shibud Nechosim means not only can you collect from me, even after I die, and my assets go b'yerusha to my yorshim, the Yorshim never borrowed any money. They don't owe. They don't have a Shibud Aguf, but they didn't borrow the money. Nonetheless, you still can collect. If I die and I leave no assets, birusha, so the Yorshim are not mechuyif to pay. They didn't. I borrowed from everybody in the world, and I died penniless, so the Yorshim are not mechuyif to pay. But if I left karka, so that's the din. There's a Shibud Nechosim on the karka. There's a lien on the karka. So the Mishnah has in the very end of Bava Basra a difference between a milvah bishtar and a milvah al peh. If I borrowed money and you have eidim that I borrowed the money, then there's only Shibud Aguf. There's no Shibud Nechosim. You can't collect from the lekuchas. Let's say if I borrowed money and I gave you a shtar that's signed by two eidim, that I owe you $1,000, I borrowed the money. And all of my karkoes, I'm a shubit. All of my nechosim, all of my assets, I'm a shubit to pay. So even if I sell a karka to lekuches, and then I go broke, so you can't collect from me, I have no money to give you. And you want to collect from the lekuches, so that's based on shibud nechosim. So you have the ability to collect from the lekuches. So shibud nechosim is only on karka, and it's only by milvah bishtar. So here there's a, we started mentioning last week, there's a long Ramban. We have no riff on Bechoris. And a lot of Masechus Bechoris is Nagei Halacha Lamaisa. So the Ramban wrote Hilchas Bechoris. He wanted to be Mashlim the riff's Chibur. The Rif didn't write on Kochim and Taras, but he wrote on those Masechtas that are relevant Halacha Lamaisa. The Matcha Becharis is relevant Halacha Lamaisa. So he wrote, so on our, the end of our Perek, there's the Ramban printed in the back of the Shas, where they would normally print the Rif. So here there is no Rif on Becharis that the Ramban wrote. The Ramban didn't have a Rif on the Dorm. We have a Rif on the Dorm. The Ramban didn't have. So the Ramban wrote an imitation Rif on the Dorm also. So we have them both printed side by side. The Rif on the Dorim and the Ramban on the Dorim. But Amchoris Hataka is no Rif. So the Ramban wrote. So the Ramban has a long essay over here. He quotes a fundamental machloikis from the Rishonim. It's really from the Gaonim. Before the days of Rashi and Tosfos, before the days of the Rishonim, it was a machloikis in the days of the Gaonim, and it's two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. It's one line in Choshen Mishpat, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes Yesham and Yeshamim. It's a major machlokes harishayim that goes as follows. Let's say I borrowed money. Let's say everybody gets married. When you get married, so you give your wife a ksuba. So we write, we are obligating ourselves likisha tizgarish or tisalmein. If the husband dies before the wife, or the husband divorces the wife, so then he's obligated to pay a fortune of money, the ksuba. So that's an awful lot of money. So he writes, kol nechosam, he writes in the ksuba, he's mishabed all of his nechosam. So even let's say if he'll divorce his wife, and he'll be penniless after he divorces his wife, he's penniless. But he had karkois after the time that he gave her the ksuba. So it's a milvah bishtar. So after the time that he gives the wife the ksuba, and he writes the bishabit all the karkos that he has, the kanoi udaser another mik meshabe the karkos that he has and the karkos that he will buy in the future. So let's say after that he buys karka, the karka is meshubet, then he sells it to lekeach, and then he divorces his wife. So the wife has her, and then the husband is broke. If the husband has money, you have no right to collect from the chosim meshubadim amok mesheish ben echorim. If the one who owes the money himself, the one who has the shibir aguf, if he's still alive, so you collect from him, you don't collect from the chosim meshubadim. But if he's penniless, he can't collect from him. So then you collect from the lukuchas. You collect from the lukuchas. So what's the din in the following case? The husband writes his wife a ksuba, and every standing ksuba says the same thing. He's mishabed all of the assets that he has now, dikanoi, which I possess already, u'da'osar anolamikta, and I'm mishabed all of the karkos that I will buy in the future. He never bought anything, and the husband dies, let's say. The husband dies, so he divorces the wife, and he's penniless, he can't pay. After the husband dies, then his father dies. So what that we call that the husband yarshins his father, his grandfather, whatever, a rich uncle. So somebody dies in the family, and the husband yarshins bekever. That's what we call it. The husband yarshins that rich uncle bekever to transmit the assets to his children. But the husband never got the assets. The husband is dead already. A dead person can't acquire assets. So if you're mishabed, so we started saying last week, we didn't finish the whole story. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Nun Zayin Amid Aleph, raises this question. There is a machloikas, Reb Meir and Chachamim. Can you make a kinyan on a dovah shalob boli oilom? Let's say, what's an example of a dovah shalob boli oilom? Let's say, I'm negotiating, I gave the marshal last week, I'm negotiating with the president of Brooklyn to buy the Brooklyn Bridge. He may sell it to me, he's not going to sell it to anybody else, but he's friendly with me, may sell it to me. I'm not interested in the Brooklyn Bridge, but you want it. And he doesn't want to talk to you. So I'll make a shtar kinyan with you, I'll write you a shtar. If and when I acquire ownership, if in the future I should succeed and acquiring ownership of the Brooklyn Bridge, I give over the ownership to you for $100,000, whatever. I sell it to you. I make the shtar before I acquire the ownership of the Brooklyn Bridge. The Brooklyn Bridge right now is considered Dovah Shelo Boli Olam because I don't own it now. He can't sell a Dovah Shelo Boli Olam. But he doesn't want to make the kinyan today. He says, if and when I should acquire ownership of this hotel, the hotel doesn't belong to me yet. I tell you, if and when I acquire ownership of the hotel, I transfer ownership to you. There is such a thing as a kinyan lachalamed yom. Let's say I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael before Rosh Hashanah. So I sell you my house as of September 1st. I give you a shtar kinyan. I own the house now. So I can give you a shtar kinyan now that the house should belong to you starting from September 1st. So I made a kinyan that's lachalamed yom. Made a kinyan with you today that should take effect in another couple of months. September 1st, that's legitimate. So Reb Meir is of the opinion, I can make a kinyan. I didn't buy the hotel yet. I plan to buy the hotel, and I don't want to own the hotel. I want to resell it to you. So I write you a shtar now. If and when I acquire ownership of the hotel, I transfer the hotel to you the day after I acquire ownership. So Reb Meir holds you can do that, just like you can make a kinyan on the house that you own now, that the kinyan should take effect at a later date. The kinyan should take effect on September 1st. Or let's say a person is mafresh truma. So he takes out a little bit, he says, mafresh challah. He takes out challah, and for some reason or another, the Mishnah used to have complicated cases. Some reason or another, he doesn't want the challah to take effect this moment, wants it to be challah in 5 minutes. Then the Mishnah say that that's legitimate. You can be mafresh challah, mafresh truma, say, I want the truma to be challah in another 5 minutes. You can postpone the challah till later. So the Meir is of the opinion, let's say, I'm married to a woman, and I want to get divorced, but some of the children are not married yet. I give the wife a get. I say the get should take effect the day after the last Sheva Brachas of the last child. We should be married while we marry off all the... We should, a husband and wife should still be married when we marry off all the children. Then after everybody's all married, after the last Sheva Brachas, the get should take effect. So I'm married to the woman, I can give her a get. What if I give her a get before I married her? At the time of the Second World War, if you were married, they weren't letting Jews into America, but if you would marry an American girl, then you could, your spouse is an American, then you can come into America. So a lot of girls agreed to marry yeshiva boys in Europe to save their lives, but they didn't want to marry, they didn't want to live with them. So let's say the husband, the chosn baruch, will give the girl a get before he gives her the kiddushim. So a man would say that's good. The girl is afraid she's going to marry him to save his life, and then he's going to say he's married to her, he doesn't want to give her a get. So he gives her the get before he gives her the kiddushim. So if the din would have been like Rav Meir, it isn't. If the din would be like Rav Meir, you can make just like I can give my wife a get today. I'm married to my wife. I can give her a get and say I want the get to be chal next year, and she still has the get when it comes next year, so it's chal. So even if I'm not married to her at all, that's a dovah shel bal yom. She's not my wife yet. I can give her a get and I say the day after the kiddushin is chal, the get should be chal. So according to Rav Meir, that's good. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin. Gemara has a whole list of tanoim who agree with Rav Meir that you can make a kinyan on a dovah shel bal yom, and that's a klal that we have a tradition for the days of the goyim. Whenever the Gemara gives you a string of Tanoim and Amoraim who agree with each other, means that that's the minority opinion, that's not the accepted opinion. Ein halacha k'shita. That's called shita. If you list off Beis Shammai and Rav Meir and this one and the other one, they all hold the same shita. You don't have to, let's say, you're going to say Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Soloveitchik, and Rabbi Gifter, Rabbi Hutner all say, you have to lay tefillin on Wednesday also. Everybody holds you have to lay tefillin on Wednesday. What do you list off? A whole bunch of names. If you say, they all say you have to lay tefillin chalamai, that's an issue. But what are you collecting shitas if it's a double poshet, everybody agrees to that? Whenever the Gemara lists off a shita, it's off an abaye, lists off. He says, Rav Meir, Rav Lozer ben Azariah, and this one, and the other, and they all hold X, Y, Z. Usually that indicates that that's a minority opinion, and he tells you it's a significant minority. But because he's collecting all of those who agree with that shita, That indicates that that's the Shitas HaYochid, and we don't pass them like that. So the Gemara has a whole list of Tanaim who hold, like Rav Meir, that you can make a Kinyan on a Dovah Shel Ba'alam. So we hold that you cannot. So that's the Gemara in Baba Basra, Kuftan Zion, raises the question. When you get married, and you write in Iksuba, stand the text of Iksuba, I'm Shabbat, all the Karkoyas, the kanoi that I possess already, whatever karkos I will purchase in the future, should also be mishubit. So how can you be mishabit the karka that you don't own yet? Shibud nechosim means a kinya lachasoid. I makna my karka to the malve with respect to gvias hachov. But in case I'll sell it, the loiva will sell a karka to the lakeach, and then the loiva will go broke. He spent all of his money. He gambled away all of his money. He has no money to pay. And the Malba wants to go to the Lekuchas to collect the Chov. So the Lekuch says, what do you want from me? I bought the Karka. It's mine. So the Malba says, no. The Loiva gave me ownership of the Karka before he sold it to you. Shibin Lechasim means the Kinya Lachatzon, the Karkoes of the Loiva, are Kenuyim to the Malba with respect to Gvi Asachayv. So that's what enables the Malva to collect from the Lekuchas. So the Gemara has the Shaila. Does it make sense? Can you be Meshabed Adobash Labolion? Can you make a Shiba Nechosim that's the Oser Anola Mikne? Shiba de Ekne. Is there such a thing as Shiba de Ekne? Can you make a Shiba on a Karka that doesn't yet belong to you? So the Gemara says, if you would hold like Rav Meir, he holds he can always make a kinyan on a dovish la bali olam. It'll be chal if and when it'll be bolo olam. But we don't hold like Rav Meir. So the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion that there is such a thing as shibud de'ekne. It can't be mishabed a dovish la bali olam. So some rishonim try to break their heads to figure out why should it be different from every other case of dovish la bali olam. So the answer is we shouldn't break our heads. The Rashbam says hefke bezne hefke. It's a takana de rabbanon. That's all. There's no way to explain it on the level of the Raya. It really is a dovish lo bali olam. and it shouldn't be able, you shouldn't be able to do such a thing. They make a shibud on the ekni, the mishabed, the karkoes that you don't have yet. It's a dovish laboli. But that's a takana of the rabbanon that over here. We hold like Reb Meir that you can make a shibud on dovish laboli. But that's bamed dvorim amurim. If it becomes bol olam later, let's say, if the din would have been like Reb Meir, so the fellow gives a get. The girl wants to stay his life. She's an American citizen, so she agrees to marry him. But she wants to be assured that he's going to give her a get. Once he comes to America, she doesn't want to live with him. She wants him to give her a get afterwards. So to make sure he gives her a get, he gives her the get before. He gives her a get because the day after the Kiddusha, the day after I arrive in America and I become a citizen, the get should take effect. So she's secured that she's going to get a get. So what if he never comes to America? What if the husband never comes to America? So the whole, if you hold like Reb Meir, you can make a kinyan on a dovish labal olam. If and when, it's bal olam. If it turns out like that. Let's say, I say, if and when I buy this hotel on the corner, I'll transfer ownership to you the day after, and I give you a shtar to that effect. The hotel that I didn't buy yet should belong to you the week after I acquire ownership. I give you ownership by giving you the shtar now. So according to Reb Meir, if and when I'll buy it, the ownership will go to you. But if I never succeed in buying the hotel, so it was a dovish labal olam that never became bal olam. So the shibud, the kinyan is not going to be chal. So that's the question over here. What does it help? Let's say the chassan writes in the ksuba. Every ksuba says like that. He's mishabed the nechassim dikanoi, which she owns already. Udoser anola mikpe. And then a husband that he will acquire in the future. The husband dies, a poor man. He doesn't have any assets. After the husband dies, then a rich relative dies. And the husband yarshins bekever. Yarshins bekever means that he never owned that property for a second. A dead person can't own any property. Yarshins bekever is a melitza. That means that the rich uncle died, or his father died, his grandfather, whatever, and he's the yarish. He's in line to get the Yerusha. So he diverts the Yerusha, goes to his children, it goes to his brothers, whatever. But it doesn't mean that it never belonged to the husband. So that's a machlekes, a major machlekes that the Ramban quotes over here. Does the Malva have the ability to collect from Ra'oi? If the loive died and he never acquired the ownership of the property during his lifetime. So the shibud de ekni was never chal. The ekni is only chal if and when it becomes bol olam. Here he died before he ever got it. The rich uncle died after he died. So he, what we call hiyashim's bekeva. Hiyashim bekeva is a melitza. It never belonged to him. Dead people can't acquire ownership. That's just, we divert the Yerusha. It can't go to him because he's not alive, so it goes to his Yerushim, whoever they are. So that's a machlokes in the Rambam. So how's the room for machlokes? Shibud on a dovish labal yolam. A shibud on a dovish labal yolam is called because they made hefker bezna hefker. They said they made the rabbana, they made a takana that it can be chabba. But if it never was bol olam, how can it be? It must be like this. If you look there in the Gemara, in Bava Basa Kuf Nun Zayin, so the Gemara has this Shaila, Kuf Din Zayin Amid Aleph, then it goes over to Amid Beis, a whole blood Gemara. So on Amid Aleph, the Gemara says there's a Beferish and Mishnah that you can collect from the Yarshim. If the father Yarshim Bekever, the Gemara says you can collect, not the father Yarshim Bekever. If the father acquired ownership of property after he gave the Shtar, at the time the loive gave the shtar to the malva, the loive borrowed a fortune of money from the malva, and then he gives the malva a shtar. And at that time he had no karkos. Then later on he acquires yarshin's karka, whatever. He buys karka, yarshin's karka. So it says, and then he dies. So then it says he can collect from the yarshin. So the Gemara says, but he didn't own that karka at the time that he gave the shtar. So don't you see that the shibud di ekni is chal? It's a beferish mishnah. So if you want, you can insist that it's only Ali with the Reb Meir, and we don't pass on like that. It's not Mishnah Reb Meir. It's a Stam Mishnah. So the Gemara suggests that. Maybe it's the Mishnah Shalai Kalach. Maybe the Mishnah goes like Reb Meir. Or they can make all the kinyanim on a davar shel balayam. Then the Gemara gives another answer. The Gemara says you can't really prove that the ekni works. Maybe we should say it's mitzvah ala yisaimim lefrachai v'saviyim. Maybe whenever the yisaimim yarshin from the father, so it's not right. The father incurred debts during his lifetime. And then before he died, he had assets and he never paid. He never paid the debts. And the yarshim are going to be living off of the assets that the father had. How did he get all the assets? Because he owed a fortune of money to everybody and your uncle. He owed everybody money. So that's not fair. And the Gemara has such a curse. The Gemara says, Yasmi, the Achli, the Lav Ditu, the Yisaimim are living off of the money that they got for Yerusha from the father. And the father borrowed money and never paid it back. The Gemara gives a curse. Lezlu Basa Shivkayu. The Yisaimim should drop dead. They don't deserve to have that money. Because the father borrowed it and he never paid back. And then he gives all of his wealth, all of his assets, go be Rusha to the children. If the man dies, the father died, and he's penniless, and he doesn't leave anything be Rusha to the children, and the children are independently wealthy, they're not mukhif to pay the father's debts. They didn't incur the debts. But if the father incurred debts and he died a rich man, and the Yerushim get the Rusha, so the Gemara said, that's not fair. The Yerushim get the Yerusha because the father didn't pay all of his chayvus. So that's not fair. So the Gemara says, maybe the reason for the Mishnah that you can collect from the Yerushim, even though the father didn't have the assets at the time that he gave the shtar, maybe that's because midirabbanan, they made a takana, the mitzvah le'yisayimim, the chayvus aviyim, it's considered as if there's a shibur aguf. Even though the one who borrowed the money was really the father. But since it's not fair that the Yerushim should use all the money, the father incurred all the debts, and then he became wealthy, and then he never paid the chayvus. So that's, since it's not fair, some of the Rabbanai said we treat it as if there's a shibur aguf. That's how the Gemara says. Then the Gemara finally comes to the maskana kufn and zayin on the base in Bava Basra that the ekni does work. Not only according to Rabbi Meir, they made a takana with the Rabbanim. You can't be mishapir adobah shel abolei ragum. So in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a machloikis haga'oinim. It's one line in Shulchan Aruch. You can say, yeshamim v'yeshamim. There's a machloikis. Once you get to the final answer in the Gemara, that the ekni does work. So that's the true pshat in the Mishnah. The father wrote a shtar. The father borrowed money. He was a lawyer. They gave a shtar to the mal. And he wrote, he's mishabit tikhanoi. The assets that I possess, all the assets I will purchase in the future. So that's why the Yerushim have to pay, because it's a Shibun HaChosim. But once you get to the final answer, think, well, you don't need the original answer, that mitzvah l'yisayim l'farachai v'saviyim. So that's a machlokes from the days of the Gaonim. Do we reject the original answer because no longer a need for it? And the real answer is that the ekni does work. Or should we say, we don't reject the answer. What we said on Kufnan Zayin Amid Aleph is correct, that to collect from the Yerushim, you don't even need the Ekni. Even if the Ekni doesn't work, you can still collect from the Yerushim, because it's not fair. And that's why there's Samit Farachai B'Savim. And it's also another fact, not only do you collect from the Yerushim, you can even collect from the Lekuchas, because the Ekni does work. So that's a big machloikis in the grave. So that's the machloikis that the Ramban quotes over here. What happens? The father who borrowed all the money dies penniless. After the father dies, then he yarshins bekever. He yarshins, the rich uncle dies after the father died, who incurred all the debts. Then the rich uncle dies, and the father yarshins bekever. So the nechasim that he got from the rich uncle, or from the father, from the grandfather, whatever it is, someone in the family died, that was, he made his chibur on that when it was a dovish la'bolayim, and never became bolayim. He never got it. The rich uncle died after the father died, so he never got it. We call it the yarshim bekever. Yarshim bekever is a melitza. Just means the Yerusha goes through the father, goes to his children, goes to the father's yarshim. But the father doesn't get it. He never had it. So those are the two opinions in the Ramban. Do you need the ekni in order to be collect from the assignment? Should you say that there's a mitzvah, the assignment for a chayvus aviyim, there's a mitzvah to collect even if there's no Shibin Chasim, even if the acting wouldn't work, or even if it never became Baal Olam. But he's saying, no, the only way to collect from the Yisayimim is if you have a sheep with the Ekni. And if the father dies, the father was the loiva, the father dies first, and then the rich uncle dies, so the father gets it bekever. That's a bekever means he never got it. So then the sheep will never be chal. So that's a major machlekes in the Rambam. And the Tosfos over here throws in that svar. This gigantic Tosfos, Amar Shmuel, Tosfos throws in that svar, that there's room to argue the point. That's one of the days in the Mishnah. Room to argue the point and to say that you can collect from the Yisayimim even without a Shibud Nechasim. Even though there's no Shibud Nechasim. Whenever the Yisayimim got the Yerusha, something from the father, the father owed money and he never paid. So that's not right. The Gemara says the curse lays lebosu shivkayu. If they're going to use the money that they got birusha, and they're not going to pay the debts of the father, they should drop dead. That's not fair. So that's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, 2 days in the Ramban on our Gemara. So we spoke last week. We spoke a lot about ro'ui. The pchor, it says keiras ha'pchor ben asnua yakir losis lo pishnai mechol sheyi motzi lo. So we gave a few examples. Let's say a man bought a lottery ticket and he died, and the drawing took place after he died. It turns out that the father's the winner, but he never had that money while he was alive. He never acquired that money. The lottery, the drawing was after he died. So the bechor doesn't get a double portion on that. He divides equally with the others. Oh, what's another example of ro'ui? If the father dies and he has assets, and then the grandfather dies, nichse davu adaba. That's the top line on Amud Beis. Let's do nichse da abba di abba. The grandfather dies after the father dies. So the pchor, the grandson who's a pchor, gets pishnayim on all the assets that the father had at the time of death. But the nichse davu adaba, the grandfather died after the father. So the father never had that while he was alive. So the b'chor doesn't get pishnayim on that. And then there's a machlekes hatanoim. What if the father had assets? He lent out a fortune and money during his lifetime, and he didn't collect it back. It wasn't collected back until after the father died. So that's a machlekes hatanoim in Perek Yesh Nochlin. Tosis refers to it a lot over here. Whether the b'chor gets pishnayim b'milveh. The father had the assets, he had the debt, he had the money, and he lent it to other people. He didn't collect it back, but the chayv was there, b'chayehel av. So we pask in halacha, there are two psukim for ra'oi. We pask in the extra pasuk tells you this then, that even a halvoi, even milveh, that the father lent out, if he didn't collect it before he died, then the b'chor is not entitled to pishnah. So now there's, the Mishnah has, the last line in the Mishnah, nun beis amir aleph, the second and the third lines from the top. V'lo hayyavim. Kula meninotlam b'shvach v'lo b'roike b'amukhsa. What's the din of yavim? So the din of yivim machalitza is a parasha in the Chumash. Ki yeshvach miyachtov. There are two brothers. One brother is married. He has no children and never had any children in the past. And maybe he had, but they all died. At the time that the husband dies, he doesn't have any descendants. If he has children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, then the din of Yibam Machalitza doesn't apply. The person, Keshvach Meyach, Meshachad Meham, Bein Ein Loi, he doesn't have any, no son, no daughter, no grandchildren, no descendants at all. So then the Torah says that there's what we call a Zika. There's a relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama, if the man who died has a brother. If he doesn't have a brother, there's no issue. There's no yibum, there's no chalitza. But if he has a brother who was born, even though, let's say, the brother can't do chalitza until he's bar mitzvah. But let's say the brother was just born a day before his older brother died. So the yavam is going to have to wait 13 years till the yavam, till her brother-in-law is going to become bar mitzvah. You can't do chalitza when you're a cotton. That's a pasuk. Kochei yosel l'isha sheliyim des pesach ish prat l'kotten. So a katan can't do chalitz, and a katan also can't do chalitz. You have to make sure the yavam is a gadol, bar mitzvah, and the yavam should be a gadol as well. So there's a din, yeah, you should do Yibum, and if they don't want to perform Yibum, then they have to do Chalitza, and then she's permitted to remarry. So there's a pasuk there, the Gemara has a klal, Ein amikru yotze midei pshuto. So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos points out, we mention it pretty often, Ramban points out that Chazal never said Ein b'mikra ela pshuto, that the only correct, the only authentic pshat in the pasuk is posha pshat. The drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh certainly emes. The Chazal said Ein amikru yotze midei pshuto, the pshuto shal mikra is also true. Halacha l'maisa, not only are all the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh true, binding l'halacha, the pshuto shal mikra is also binding. And you have to figure out in every given, in any given pasuk, what is the pshuto shal mikra? Like Rashi has on Chumash, on Parshas Mishpatim, etc. It says if a man buys an Amo Hevriya, the father sells his daughter as an Amo Hevriya. It's a very nasty thing to do. But, okay, years ago there was such a thing. Shaykh Ted also, yeah. So if a father sells his daughter as an Amo Hevriya, so it says, Lo seitse kitseiso avodim. How do you translate that? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, from the Tanoim, she doesn't have the Yetziya Lecheiris. Lo seitse, she doesn't go free. Kitseiso avodim and have a Kenaini. If you knock out Shen V'ayin, you knock out one of the Chof Dal and Rosh Eivarim, so the Ebbe Kenaini goes free. But if you have an Amo Hevriya, Lo seitse, she doesn't have a Yetziya Lecheiris. Kitseiso avodim haknainim. She doesn't go free b'shem b'yayin. So the Rishonim say, that's not pshuto shel mikra. That's how you, that's the simple translation. Lo seitze, she doesn't have a yetziya lecheiret tzeis habanim. So the Tur, the son of the Rosh, the Tur has a commentary ala Torah, perish ha-Tur ala Torah. So he says, what it means is, if you bought an Amo Hevriya, a young girl, she's only 11 years old, she's not yet, once she reaches Nairus, she goes free. At the age of 12, she goes free. Not even 12 years old. So in the days of the Tanakh, the women used to stay home. So it's not proper. Let's say she could say something about him. You have no right to ask her to go to the post office and to pick something up, or to go to the store and go shopping for you. She has a right to say, call Plutabas Melapnim. If she wants to, she'll be happy to do, wash all the dishes and do all the laundry, everything she'll do in the house. Raise the children, diaper the babies, do everything in the house. You have no right to send her out to do work mechutzla bias. If you have an Eved Ivri, or you have an Eved Knaini, you can ask him to do work mechutzla bias. But the Amo Hevriya, Loi Seitzi, can say Sabadim. It's not right. You have no right to ask that she should do work outside of the house. So the two things, that's Pshuto Shal Mikra, and what Rashi quoted from the Tanoim, she doesn't have a Yetziya Lecheres with Shemi Ayin, like an Eved Knaini. He said, that's an additional level of interpretation. It's they're both true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter, in such a way that there's more than one level of interpretation in any given pasuk. So the Pshuto Shel Mikra is emes, and the additional levels of interpretation are also emes. So the Gemara says there's one pasuk in Kol HaTorah Kula where the Mikra is Yotze Midei Pshuto, where the Pshuto Shel Mikra is not binding. There is no Pshuto Shel Mikra. The pasuk Bayibam, it says, Yivam Yavo Leha, the Yavam should marry the surviving brother of the one who died leaving no descendant, should marry the Yavama, his sister-in-law. Usually, sister-in-law is an Issachares. And over here, it's an exception to the rule. To marry the sister-in-law of B'makam Yibum, when the brother died and he left no descendant, no children, then it's Hetagomer, then it's Mutar, and it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to perform Yibum. So the Pasuk says, V'hoya apchor shetelet, so the simple translation sounds like it's saying that the first baby who's born should be named after the first husband who died. So the Gemara says that that pasuk, there's no, the pshuto shel mikra is not true. The Chazal had a tradition that pasuk is just like headlines of topics. Like there's a Mishnah in Bava Kamma, Shum Kesev, Shavet Kesev, Bifnei Bezen, Bifnei Eidim, and Echorim, and Ebris. It's not only not a paragraph, it's not a sentence. It's just like titles, topics that to remind you that Torah Shabbat Peh, they didn't want to write down the whole Torah Shabbat Peh. So that Mishnah just lists off ideas to remind those are going to rattle off the Mishnah of all these dinim. Shum kesef, shabbe kesef, if they doesn't, b'nei charim, b'nei bris. It's not a paragraph, it's not a sentence. So here also, v'ya p'chosha teile yakam shemach ha'ameis, v'lai mach shemach yisrael, the pshutu shal mikwa, it's not one sentence. V'ya p'chor means mitzvah begot le'yabim. If the man who died leaves a few brothers, so it's a mitzvah, it's preferable a Hitler mitzvah that the oldest of the brothers should perform the Yibum. Vayabchor, mitzvah begot le'yam. Asher Teile means pratla islandess. If the Yavama is an islandess, it could be that the Yavama is an Akara. Akara means she can't have any children. There's some hormone imbalance or something. But islandess means the whole body is not growing normally. Akara can sometimes be treated with hormones, with injections, but islandess can't be treated. A sores in an island, an akara of akara can sometimes be corrected, but an islandess and a sores can't be corrected. So if you ascertain that the Yavama, the surviving almana, whose husband died, is an islandess, then the whole din of Yibam Machalitza doesn't apply. That's Asher Teile. Yokam Ashi Machiv Hameis means that the brother who does Yibum, it's a mitzvah begot le'yabim, the oldest brother should do the Yibum. That's why Hoya Pchor. So once he does Yibum, he yarshins all of the assets of the brother who died. Yokam Ashi Machiv Hameis. Then it says, V'loi Machiv Shmo B'Yisrael, Prat L'Soris Shmo Machiv. Let's say the brother who died was a Soris. A soris is worse than an okar. Okar means that there's a fertility problem. Soris means the whole body doesn't grow normally. A soris, everything else, like a soris and an islandess. The whole body doesn't grow normally. They become a mitzvah at a later age. They have to, if you have some money soris, then they become bar mitzvah at a later age. They don't become bar mitzvah at 13 and 12. An islandess doesn't become bar mitzvah at 12, and a boy, a sasaris, doesn't become bar mitzvah at 13. That has to be a later stage. The age of 20, you have the simani saris, simani islandess. So that's what the Gemara says. The whole pasuk is yotzi midei pshuta. There is no pshuta shal mikra in that pasuk. So the pasuk says, v'haya ha'pchor. It's not referring to the first baby born to the couple after they did Yibum. There is no such din at all. Even l'chatchila, you don't have to name, if they live together and they have a lot of babies, they're not mechuyib to name the first baby after the one who died. There's no pshutu shal mikra over here. Who is the pchor? Not the baby who's going to be born. The pchor is the yovam. Mitzvah begot le'yabim, the yovam, the brother of the nifter, the oldest brother in the Nifter, it's preferable the oldest brother should perform the Yibum. And even by Chalitza, it's preferable that the oldest brother should do the Chalitza. There was a case recently I participated. A man died. He was married to a girl that we used to go in the summertime with her on travels in Europe. And it was about a year after they got married. The husband died suddenly, and she needed chalitza. She never had any children. So the oldest brother lived in Europe, in Antwerp. And there was a younger brother who lived in America. So it's a mitzvah begot le'yabim. So they waited a couple of months. The older brother came into New York for a chasana, a family chasana. So when he came into New York, so he did the chalitza. So the pasuk v'haya pchor doesn't refer to the baby who's going to be born. The first child should be named after the nifter. It refers to the yavam, mitzvah b'gor le'yavim. So because we refer to him as a pchor, so the Gemara understood here in Baba Basra and in Yavamis Daf Mem that the yavam who does yibum yarshin the nechasim of the brother. Let's say that brother was a wealthy man, so the brother who died leaving no children. So you don't say, there are five surviving brothers. You don't divide the Yerush into five shares. The Pasuk says, Yokam Hashem Achim Hameis, he gets the whole Yerusha of the Nifter. But then the Pasuk calls him a Pchor. Why is he called a Pchor? What if the father dies later? What if the brother dies now, leaving no descendants, but he has a father who's surviving? and then the father dies later. So since the Yavam, who the brother who performed the Yibum, is supposed to yarshin everything from this brother who died, from the Nifter who died, now that the father died, so the brother who did Yibum, he's one of the sons of the father. There were six sons. One died, and you have five surviving sons. So if you have five sons surviving, so they don't, you give Pishnayim, you give Pishnayim, if there's a Pur, so you give Pishnayim to the Pur. What does it mean, Pishnayim? Instead of dividing the Yerusha into five shares, there are five surviving sons, you divide it into six, and the Pur gets 2/6. He gets 2/6. That's what we spoke about last week, that the conservatives misinterpreted, they mistranslated the Pusik, that Pishnayim means he always gets 2/3, no matter how many children there are. And then the rabbis in a later generation changed all the dinim, so we don't assume like that. We assume that was the pshat from day number one. Pishnayim means you treat the Pur as if he's 2 children. So here, the Yavam is one of the 5 surviving sons of the father. But the father used to have 6 sons. One died before the father. And the Yavam who did the Yibam is supposed to yarshan that brother. So now that the father dies after the brother, one of the 6 sons predeceased the father. So when the father dies, you should divide the Yerusha into 6 portions. And the oldest brother who did the Yibum, he's entitled to his share. He's one of the 6 sons. He's entitled to the share of the brother who died. So that's why we refer to him as the Pur. Just like the Pur gets Pishnayim, a double share, you treat the Pur as if he were 2 children. If the man dies and he leaves 10 sons, and one is a Pur, so you divide the Yerusha into 11 shares, and the Pur gets 2/11. If he leaves 5 children, so you divide the Yerusha into 6 shares, and the Pur gets 2/6. You just treat the Yavam, you treat the Pur as if he were 2 children. So here the Pasuk is V'haya Pur. And it means mitzvah begodli adnim. So the phrase voyapkor doesn't refer to the baby whose first child is going to be born, to the couple who fulfilled yibum. It's a description of the yavam. The yavam is the pkor. Why is he a pkor? Because if the father dies after the brother died, then the one who does yibum is entitled to his share and the share of the brother whom he did the yibum for. He actions everything that the brother had. So the Gemara said, just like a Pur is not entitled to Pishnayim B'ra'ui, Kibamuchsok, so too the Yavam doesn't get Pishnayim B'ra'ui Kibamuchsok. What does that mean? What do you mean? The Yavam doesn't get Pishnayim B'ra'ui Kibamuchsok? It means like this. The brother died. There were 6 brothers. One brother died. He has no descent. He was married. He has no children. So one of the oldest of the 5 surviving brothers agrees to do the Yibum. Do the Yibum, they live happily ever after. Fine. And then the father dies. The father's a wealthy man. So whatever assets the father has at the time of death, the Yavam who did the Yibum gets Pishnayim. The Yavam who does the Yibum, right after he does the Yibum, he acquires ownership of all the assets that the Nifter had, that his brother had, whose wife he did the Yibum on. But then if the father dies later, the father dies after the brother died, then the Yavam only gets Pishnayim, he's called the Pur to his father, he's entitled to Pishnayim on the assets that the father has at the time of death. But let's say the grandfather will die after the father died. That just like a Pur wouldn't get Pishnayim, Anichsi the Avu the Abba, if the grandfather dies after the father, so the Yavam over here is not going to be entitled to Pishnayim and whatever assets will be acquired by the father who died after the brother. He only gets Pishnayim and what the father had at the time of death. That's the din in this Gemara. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, there's a major machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos and the Mordechai. All the Bali Ataisis hold one way, and all the Chachmisvarad hold the other way. The Rambam and the Ramban and the Rashbo and the Magen Mishneh, all the Chachmisvarad hold the other way. exactly how far you go with this din, that the poor is not entitled to pishnayim b'roi kibamuchta. So the Ramah, this is in the end of Ibn Ezer. In Ibn Ezer, it starts off with the dinim whom you're allowed to marry, then it has Hilchas Kiddushin, then it has Hilchas Gittin, and then it has, after the end of Hilchas Gittin, and it has all the laws of Yibum and Chalitza. We today don't practice Yibum, because the Gemara in Yivamis, on Daf Lamentes, on base quotes, it was a Tana Avashol. Avashol came up with a Chumrim in the Rabbana. That's how the Rishonim say. The Yavam is permitted to marry the Yavama. It's an exception to the rule. It should have been an Issa Kores. Eshesach is an Issa Kores. If it's Eshesach, Yesh Labanim. If my brother was married and he had children from his wife, and then the brother dies, then it's an Issa Kores. If she's not an Eshesish anymore, my brother dies, she's no longer an Eshesish, but still an Eshesach, it'll be an Issa Kores. But if my brother died leaving no descendants, no children, no grandchildren, no descendants at all, then the Eshesach is lifted. Then it's mutter. There's a heter on the Eshesach. So the Abishol came up with a chumrim at the Rabbanan. This heter to marry Eshesach is only if he marries her l'shem shamayim. What if he's only going to marry her? He's only going to perform the even because she's very good looking, because she's very from a very wealthy family, or from a very miyuchasdika family. He's going to fall into big yichus over here. But if she wouldn't be, if she would have been a plain Jane, nobody special, and no big yichus, and no good looks, he would never have done. In all honesty, he tells us he wouldn't have done the Yibam. He's only doing the Yibam. Shem Shamayim, but L'shem Noisei, L'shem Noi, L'shem Yichus, L'shem Onen. So Avishol says it's prohibited mid Rabbanan to do the Yibam in such a case. So in different generations, the Psak was, the consensus shifted. That's what we call Mishnah Rishayim, Mishnah Achra. Mishnah Rishayim means at one time an early Bezin Paskin like Abishol, and a later Bezin reversed the Psak. So there's a question, how many times did the Psak go back and forth? So Tesis quotes Rabbeinu Tam that at different times the Psak changed, but the final Psak was that like Abishol, that you're not permitted to do Yibam with the Rabbanim. We don't allow you to do Yibam unless you're doing a L'shem Shamayim. And we don't trust people that they're doing the Yibam L'shem Shamayim. We have to be suspicious that maybe he's only performing the Yibam because of the money, because of the good looks, or because of the Yichtos. So that's why we don't allow anybody to do Yibam. So we pressure everybody to do Chalitz. That's the common practice today. But by the Sfardim, they still Arayam Azad, they still practice Yibam. At the beginning of Hakomis HaMedina, 1948, so they had the Rabbanut, was established before Hakomis HaMedina. So right after Hakomis HaMedina, they wanted to have the same Psak for Ashkenazim and Sfardim. So they had all of the Sfardi Rabbanim sign the Heskem, an agreement, that they're not going to permit Yibam anymore. So it's going to be Hefker. If the Sfardim will practice Yibam, the Ashkenazim won't practice, what are you going to do if you have a mixed marriage? So you're going to decide based on the husband or based on the wife, what are you going to do? So they made a Haskem at that time. At that time, Chacham Avadya didn't live in Eretz. I think he was in Cairo. He was in Egypt at the time. So he wrote a tshuva then that Haskem has no tokef, has no validity at all. What right do the Sfardish rabbis have to sign a Haskem? That's against the Sfardish psak halacha. The Sfardim hold la halacha that you don't pass on like Abishol, that you do perform Yibum as man as that. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes all the dinim of Yibum because the Sfardim still practice Yibum. The Ashkenazim don't practice Yibum. So you have in the end of Shulchan Aruch, they have Simen Kuf. I think Kuf Samach Gimel, if I'm not mistaken. Kuf Samach Gimel. The title of Kuf Siman, Kuf Samach Gimel, Mamash, a few pages before the end of Ibn Ezer, Ambiyabim Zecha Benichse Hameis, that the one who performs Yibam, Yochel Mashem Achim Hameis, he gets the Yerusha. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they have this discussion, what do you mean? The Mishnah says by us, that one of those Yibam, he's called a Bchor V'Oya Bchor, that's a description of the Yovam, it's not a description of the grandchild, not a description of the first baby is going to be born. The description of Hayapchor mitzvah begodli abim. The Bchor is the Yavam who does the Yibam. So that shows that he does, just like a Bchor doesn't get Pishnayim, Beroi Kibam Mukhsuk, so the Yavam doesn't either. That's the Ramah there in Tzif Aleph, Kusam Agim Tzif Aleph, quotes a Machloikes, and the Beis Shmuel quotes, and Bir Agra. He quotes, it's very questionable exactly what do you mean that the Yavam doesn't get Pishnayim. Let's say that the Yavam doesn't get Beroi Kibam Mukhsuk, let's say he did the Yibum, so he arshens all the assets from the brother. He gets everything. He doesn't get Pishnayim. He gets everything because he did the Yibum. So let's say people owe the brother money, and the money is only collected after the brother died. So by a Bechor, we would say that that's called Ra'ui, and he's not entitled to Pishnayim. He only gets a share like one of the other brothers. He doesn't get a double portion. Maybe over here, there's one opinion, maybe over here, gets everything, even gets Milveh. He gets everything from. If the father dies later, the Yavam is considered like a Bchor, so then he doesn't get Ben Milveh, because you're talking about getting Pishnayim from the Yerusha of the father. But the fact that the Yavam Yarshins, the brother who died, Yoktam Hashem Malchim Ameis, there are two psukim that say, there are two places in the Pasuk where it talks about Yerusha. One is Yoktam Hashem Malchim Ameis, that he Yarshins from the Nifter, and the other one is Bahaya Bchor. The person calls him a Bchor just like the Bchor is entitled to Pishnayim. He doesn't get Pishnayim in the Nechasim of the brother who died. He gets all the Nechasim of the brother who died. So if you get all, they get even Beroi, even get the Halvor. If you're only getting Pishnayim if the father dies afterwards, so then he only gets B'muchzak and not Beroi. There are different opinions here, different opinions. Aloch HaMais, it's complicated, but we don't allow any Yibam Mizmanazah, so we don't have the Shaila. It will be a Shaila by the Sephardim. Ashkenazim don't allow Yibam, so we don't have it. Here the Gemara has the Mishnah has a din, the top line in the Mishnah. It says, Mozen Habonas. Isha Diksubasa doesn't collect Shvach. What is Shvach? The husband died. Let's say a couple is married. So whenever anybody gets married, they give the wife a ksuba. Even if you don't give a ksuba. Ksuba is a tanai bezin. Even if you didn't give a shtar, a hefke bezin. A hefke bezin imposes it. Zechiyah midi rabbanan. We pass ksuba as lav deraisa. Zechiyah midi rabbanan, even if you never agreed. That's the din. We say you have to give your wife a document. She may not realize. She may feel uncomfortable. She may think that the husband may try to get away with not paying her the ksuba. So she may feel uncomfortable living with the husband if she doesn't have a document to prove that she's entitled to the ksuba. But that's why they made a din with the rabbanon also l'odam. The husband is not allowed to live with his wife, even for a day. If she loses the ksuba, he has to give her a ksuba the year, so he has to give her another ksuba. You're not allowed to live with your wife without a ksuba. So the truth of the matter is, the chiyuv ksuba is there. All the shibunim are there, but she may not realize it. So to make sure that she's not nervous, you have to give her a document of a ksuba. So what happened, let's say the husband dies, and the wife is living in the same home, and the husband has savings, and it's a shared savings account. And she's living on the savings, fine. She's not interested in collecting the ksuba. The din is, Kolzman the almana doesn't remarry, she's entitled to mezainus. She's allowed to stay in the same apartment where they lived together when they were married. And she's the almana's mezainus men hayasayman. The Yisamim Yarshan all the assets from the father, the Mechuyiv to give the mother enough money to live on, to buy food and clothing and so on, whatever she needs to live on. Once she collects the ksuba, once she expresses an interest in collecting the ksuba, once she wants to collect the ksuba, she's interested in remarrying, then she's no longer entitled to the mezainis. But Kolzman, she doesn't collect the ksuba, she's entitled to mezainis. So let's say at the time the husband died, the assets were worth so much, less than the ksuba. And after the husband died, then the people who did all the work, the husband owned the hotel, whatever, He owned assets, and he had other people do all the work for him. So even though the husband died, they still continued to do the work and get their salary, Shine. So let's say at the time the husband died, the assets were not sufficient to pay the ksuba to his wife. And she's not interested in collecting ksuba, she's not interested in remarrying. Then a couple of years go by, she meets someone she wants to remarry, and now she wants to collect the ksuba. But the assets of the husband were not that valuable at the time of his death. After he died, they became more valuable because the workers worked on it. It became worth more. So that's a din, that's a takana b'drabanan, that the woman cannot collect, lo ha'isha b'subosa, she cannot collect the shvach, she'ishbichu ha'nechosim, after the death of the husband. So the Gemara asks the kasha, why not? The Gemara asks about 10 lines from the type of nun, based on an aleph. Why not? Shmuel has a din in Bob Metzia, Bachov Gobis HaShvach. The Bachov has a right to collect from the Nechasim, even if at the time, let's say, the Loive died, and at the time the Loive died, the Nechasim were not that valuable. But let's say the Loive sold the Karkos to the Lekuchas. And the Lekuchas improved it. Now it's worth much more. They built a hotel. The karka was worth $1 million. Now it's worth $100 million. And she has a ksuba that's $20 million. So the din is she doesn't collect the full ksuba. She only collects the amount that the nechasim are worth at the time the husband died. The Gemara says, why? But that's what Shmuel said. Any balchayv under the sun has a right, any malda has a right to take away from the Lekuchas the karkoas, even though the karkoas at the time that the loiva died, time the loiva sold, the time the loiva died, were not worth that much money. It doesn't matter. So why do we cheat the woman when she's collecting the ksuba? She can't collect the shvach shebichu hanechosim. The Gemara makes a statement, oh, that's mikula ksuba shonukan. That's a kula. You don't have to, you're not mechuyev to introduce, carry over all the dinim from a Baal Chayv has a right to collect from the Lekuchas and from Nisan. You don't have to collect over, you don't have to carry over all the dinim. You see, if we're not going to bend over backwards to make sure that Malva, the Gemara says, we paskin, there are different opinions in Gemara. We paskin, Mikra Din, Baal Chayv only collects Ziburis. The three types of Karka, there's Idis, Beninis, and Ziburis. So the Chumash says in last week's Seder, in Parsha Mishpatim, Hashem Beregel, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Kami Shalom, you have a right to collect Shem Beregel from Idis, from Meitav. And then the Gemara says there's a gigantic Zerushab, Tachas Nesini Shalom Kesef, not only Shem Beregel you pay for, collect from Meitav, all the Choftal Rabbis and Zikin. And even the two that were left out from the Brisa of Choptal, they're 24 Ovis Nezikin. Mishnah has Arba Ovis Nezikin. Mishnah only lists off four. Then there's a Brisa that lists off 13 Ovis Nezikin. Then another Brisa lists off 24 Ovis Nezikin. And the Gemara said, why did he give the number 24? He left out two. He left out Moser and Mephagim. So the Gemara says, all of the Choptal and Ovis Nezikin, Tosus says, on plus the Moser and Mephagim, you collect, they all collect from Eitav. The pasuk goes on all of them. They collect. Everybody collects from Eitav. The pasuk by Shem Beregel doesn't only apply to Shem Beregel. It's Gzeir Shava, Tachas Nesini, Shalom Kesef. All the others Nezikin, you have to pay from Eitav. A Baal Chayv who lent money, Minatora can only collect from Ziburis. Baal Chayv, it's not a chiyuv mamon that the Torah imposes. The loiva borrowed the money. So whenever it's a his chayvus midas, you only mechuyev to, you only have a right to collect from Ziburis. But the Chacham were concerned if you're going to be able to stick the Malva with Ziburis, next time he'll learn his lesson, he won't want to lend any money. The last time I lent money, they paid me back in Ziburis. I don't want this junky karka. True, the karka is worth $1 million, but he'd rather have Beninus, he'd rather have Idis. He doesn't want to be stuck with Ziburis. So they made a takana de Rabban, and even though I'm in Atar Baal Chod is Dina de Ziburis, they should look to know that was Bifnei Lovin. You don't want the Malva to have a bad experience by lending money. You want to encourage him, he should continue to lend money. So we say, it's enough, let him collect from Beninus. The Baksuvasisha, the Gemara says, we don't have to be concerned that the women will not want to agree to get married unless we're going to give them Beninus. Unless we're going to, when it's time to collect the Ksuba, they'll collect Beninus or they'll collect the, no. Suvasisha is Nigmas Manaziburis. Why menah ziburis? The women may rebel. They're going to be unhappy. Why they got stuck with ziburis? And they won't want to get married. And Mara says, you don't have to worry that the women won't want to get married. Yosin Yamasha, Leish Rotsa Lisa, Leish Rotsa Lehinose. As much as men want to marry, women have a greater desire to get married. So that's what the Gemara said. That's called Nikula Ksuba Shanukan. There is certain coolness in Ksuba. We don't carry over all of the chumras of Gviyas Achayvus. That's what the Tosfos over here talks about. You don't introduce two chumras in Gviyas Achayvus. Tosfos on his daf has such an expression. They're talking halacha l'maisa. So that's what the Gemara said. Nikula Ksuba Shanukan. There is certain coolness. That even though any other Baal Chayv would be entitled to collect the Shvach Sheshbichu HaNechosim Eitzel HaLokeach, even though the assets were not worth that much at the time the Loiva died, at the time the Loiva sold it to Lokeach, they became worth more later. Still, the Baal Chayv can collect all of that. But by Ksuvas Isha, she doesn't collect. She doesn't collect that. So the Mishnah says, not only Ksuvas Isha, do you say, Nikulik Subashanakan, even Mazan Habanas. Habanas ben Mazanis say him also, the Gemara says, because that's Tanoi Ksubik Ksubidami. All of the details of everything that's in Mishnayis and Ksubis, so you have these Kulik Subashanakan. You don't have to worry, Shalotan Adelis Bifna. What does it mean, Mazan Habanas? What is that all about? So Rashi interprets one way, and Taisa disagrees with Rashi. Rashi says, Mazan Abani, here, take a look in the Tosfos, on Nun Besam, and Aleph Tosfos, and Dima Masa, Bahama Shmuel. So on the second line in the Tosfos, the last two words, Ubekuntris Pirish Mazan Abanas, Rashi writes over here, what is Mazan Abanas? Kigon, Nasa Isha, I marry a girl who was previously married, and she has children from the first marriage. So she wants to remarry. She's young. She's in her 20s. She wants to remarry. But who's going to support the children from the first marriage? The first husband died. The father died. So they don't have a father. So she only agrees, she's looking for Shinel. She'll only agree to marry a boy if the boy will commit himself to support the daughters, the children from the first marriage, until they get married. Or let's say they're already 15 years old, the daughters. And unless they agree, unless the new husband commits himself to support the children for the next 5 years. The next 5 years, they'll be 20 years old. They're already 15. They'll be 20 years old. They'll be able to make a living on their own. They'll be able to find the shidduch at the age of 20. So the Rashi learned that's what it means. Mazan Habanas means a man is marrying a woman who was previously married, has children from the first marriage, and the husband, the new chassan, the new husband accepts upon himself to support the bas ishto from the previous marriage. So Tosfos says, that's not the true pshat in the Mishnah, because the Gemara says, why don't they collect from Ra'ui and from Shvach? Because the Kulik Suba Shonukan, and not only with respect to collecting the Ksuba, we say, Yoisamesh or Ishrot Salisa, Ishrot Salinasa, you don't have to be concerned that women are not going to want to get married because they stuck them with Ziburis. And we're not always going to treat them so nicely when it comes to Gviyas HaKsuba. We say the same regarding Mazan Habanas, but Mazan Habanas is not from the Tanoi Ksuba. That's his chayvus on your own. So Taisa disagrees with Rashi. Taisa thinks that Mazan Habanas is a different thing. It's a Mishnah in Perek Misha Meis. It's a Mishnah in Bava Basra. That when a man dies and he leaves sons and daughters, so strictly speaking, the sons get the Yerusha, the daughters get nothing. So the sons get the Yerusha, so they're not mechuyev to give any money to the sisters. That's what it says in the Chumash. The sons get the Yerusha, and the daughters don't get anything. Unless there are no sons, then the daughters get the Yerusha. But if there are sons, daughters get nothing. So what's going to be? The daughters are only 10 years old. So they made a takana with the Rabbanon, Abonis Yazunu. If there isn't so much money, you don't give the Yerusha to the sons at all. If there's a fortune of money, a man dies and leaves a fortune of money, so you put away a certain amount of money for the daughters until they're going to get married. They're going to need money for food and clothing and an apartment to stay in, and so on. They're going to need a lot of money. So that's what it means, Mazan Habanas. That's a takanas chachamim. That you can say, Tanoi ksuba ksuba damu. Just like on the ike ksuba, the manamasayim, They made a takana with the Rabbanim. But Tosefes Tzubit. Tosefes Tzubit is also Tanoi Ksubit Shonagat. That's part of the Ksubit. So then they made a takana that you can't collect from the Shvach. So Mazna Bonus also, the Bonus can't collect from the Shvach. That's included in the din. Tanoi Ksubit Ksubit Don. Included in the din that Mikul Ksubit Shonagat. They didn't carry over all of the Chumis of Gvias Chayvis from Bali Chayvis. So we don't carry over all the Chumis. This talks about Trey in the end of it. There's a long Tosis here that starts on Nun Aleph on base. The last few lines in that long Tosis, they quote about not introducing two Chumris and Gvia Saksubit. So that has to do with these Kulik Subit Shanakan. You don't introduce so many Chumris and Gvia Saksubit. So then the Gemara Nun Beis Amud Aleph, the second half of the Amud says Velo HaYavam, that the Yavam doesn't Yarshim Beroy Kibam Muchsak My Taima Bechor Kaya Rachmana. Just like a Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim Beroy Kibam Muchsak, so the Yavam doesn't get even. So that's a Machlek. That's we said that's a Machlek is in Shulchan Aruch. That means that the one who performs Yibam Yarshins everything from the brother. What if the brother had a Halvoa? And the halva wasn't collected till after he died. So also, so the Yavam doesn't get it. So the Rama quotes this an opinion in the Rivash. There are poskimer of the opinion. No, he gets everything from the dead brother. He doesn't. The reason why he doesn't get Berukim Mamuchsa because Bechor Kai Rachmana, Bechor. That's the two different dinim of Yerusha in the pasuk. The main din is the end of the parsha, the end of the pasuk that says Yalkam Hashem Achav Ameis. Yarshin is everything for the Nifta. So it's some Rishonim hold the Yarshins, even the Halvoa Yarshins. And even if the Nifta, Roy from the Nifta, he does get. But the beginning of the Pasuk is, V'haya Pchor, that we say Mitzvah Begodli Abim, the Chumash is calling him a Pchor, that's Benegetu, if the father dies later, then the Yavim is entitled to a double portion. We call him a Pchor, like a Pchor is entitled to a double portion. So the Yavam gets his own, let's say there were six sons and one died. So he's entitled to 2/6. He's entitled to his share as one of the six sons and the share of the brother who died, whose wife he was Me'abim. So that's why the Kuchumish calls him a Pchor. Menegeh to Yarshining from the father if the father dies later. There are two phrases in the same pasuk that one of them is outright talking about Yerusha. Yochan Moshe Mochem Ameis, he yarshins the Nifter. Why Abchor means mitzvah begodli Abim, but because the Chumash is calling the Yavam, who's doing the Yibam, we're calling him Abchor, he's called Abchor because he was the Godel HaAchim. He's the oldest of the surviving brothers. We say it's a mitzvah on him either to do the Yibam or even to do the Chalitza. We say mitzvah begodl to do the Chalitza. His chalitza that I attended a couple of months ago, so that was also they waited till the brother came from Antwerp to do the chalitza here in New York. That's mitzvah begodl yabim, mitzvah begodl lachlitz also, the Gemara says. So because the pasuk refers to him as a pchor, that's why we say has it been like a pchor, just like a pchor doesn't get pishnayim beroy, he doesn't get either. So that's the big machloikis, the chach misra, but the chach ashkenaz. When is it called Roy? When is it called? What cases are Roy? What cases are Muchsan? In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the different opinions there. So Abaye comes up with a Chiddush. Amar Abaye, this din that the brother who does the Yibum is only entitled to get a double portion be Muchsak, not be Roy, because the Chumash calls him a Bechor. That's only whatever Shvach developed in between the death of the father, the death of the brother. Amar Abaye, lo shanu elam b'shvach shishib b'chazim b'miso le'yibom. The assets improved in value in between the death of the brother and the brother doing yibum. Avol, once the yavam does the yibum, he actions everything from his dead brother. So whatever Shvach is going to develop later, that Shvach developed on his karka. He was already kind of the moment that he does the Yibam. That's what Abaye says. And whatever you have in Machlokes, Abaye v'Ravi, the Gemara says in the later generations, they took a poll, sort of. They took a consensus. later generations, the Ruba always agreed with Rava, except for the six cases of Yal Kigam. But this is not one of the six cases that we pass like Rava here. Rava Amar, Rava disagrees with Abaye. He says, not correct when Abaye said, Afilu, even if the Shvach Shishitcha Nechosim is Ben Yibam Lachaluka, even if he already did the Yibam, Abaye says the Pasuk that says the Yarshans, and if at the end of that Pasuk, that he said there are two Psalm, Voya Pchor, he's like the Pchor gets double portion, and then it says Yakam Hashem Achab Amei. So Abaye says, my timer, why does the Yavam Yarshan from the brother, Yakam Hashem Achab Amei, Samar Achman of Harikam, he already did the Yibam. Once he does the Yibam, so those karkos that belong to the brother belong to him. So any shvach that develops is his shvach. And Rabbi says, not true. It doesn't belong to him until they do the chalukah on the father's nechosim. That's tricky over here. Rav Amar, Rav disagrees with Abaye. I feel that the ben yibam machalika nami lo shokol. Even the shvach that the nichsei hameis increased in value after the death of the niftar, even if it increases in value, also doesn't belong to the Yavam until they do the Chalukah. So that's what the Rishonim say. The Rambam and the Rashba and the Ritva, all the Chachmei Svarad, they all say, this is talking about a different case. It's talking about a different case. The father died first, and he has six sons. And one of them is a Pchor. So the Pchor is entitled to a double. So instead of dividing the Yerusha into six parts, you divide it into seven parts, and the Pchor gets 2/7. So then, so the Pchor is only entitled to the Yerusha when you do the Chalukah. When they do the Chalukah, there's a Gemara in Yeshnachan about that. He only is Zeche in the Pishtaim when you do the Chalukah. Over here, the Pasuk says, the father died, so the Yerusha goes to all the six sons. Then one of the sons dies, and he leaves no descendants, leaves no children. So one of the brothers has to do Yibam. So L'chatchila, we say, let the older brother do. But even if the older brother doesn't want to do Yibam, let's say he's already married, he doesn't want to, and a younger brother does Yibam. Whoever agrees to do the Yibam, he gets a pishnayim, he gets a double portion. He gets the portion that he's entitled to. He's one of the six sons. And he gets the portion of his brother who passed away. Because when the father died, all the six sons were alive. So his brother Yarshan did already. But let's say if the brother will die before the father. So the brother never had the assets of the father. He had his own assets. He didn't have the assets of the father. So that, many Rishonim say, the Rambam spells it out, and Shulchan Aruch quotes verbatim the Rambam. If the brother dies before the father, the brother never had nisei or av. So that's wrong. He said the b'chor is not entitled. And entitled, the one who does the ibum will not be entitled to get that. He only yarshins from the dead father, pishnayim. He yarshins from the brother. So if the brother died before the father, so vis-a-vis the brother, the nechsei ha'av, are adav shel ha'bali olam. It was roy, it's not muhsa. That's what the Rambam spells out. And the Rashbon, the Ramban, they all agree with that. The Ramah quotes those who disagree. They're based on Rashi. Based on Rashi, in that case, they would get. Big machlokes. Exactly when? Exactly which nechasim aroi, which nechasim amuchsa? Yeah. So Rabbi says in such a case, the father died first, and then the brother died. So kol zman they don't make a chalukah, and the nichsei ha'av, the yavam doesn't get the pishtaim, just like a pchor only gets the pishtaim when they make lemaisa, when they make the chalukah. Then he shvach shishib ha'nachosim between the ptira of the father and the chalukah, and the pchor doesn't get pishtaim on that. So to over here, the one who does the yibum is called, he's referred to by the chumash as a pchor, So he only is entitled to Pishnayim at the time that they do the Chalukah. Okay. The complicated discussion in Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah was speaking a lot about someone getting a bigger share. The Pchor gets Pishnayim, and the Yovam gets Pishnayim. We say he's referred to V'hoya Pchor, not only because Mitzvah B'Gor L'Yabim, because he gets a double share when they divide the father's Yerusha, his share and the brother's share. But now the Mishnah has a discussion. When it comes every 50th year, when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, we don't have Yovel anymore. The Gemara says Yovel is only Noeg when you have a person Dror Boris L'Chol Yoshveho. Thou shalt proclaim, that's the Pasuk on the Liberty Bell, thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. What do you mean liberty? Every Dibi goes free when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. Every Knaini says Yovel Mehem Tavoidu. Every Knaini doesn't go free B'Sheish and he doesn't go free B'Yovel. But every day he goes free, whatever comes first. Either they sold him as an every day, so when it comes the end of the 6 years, he goes free. Or if it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, came before the end of Sheish, so he goes free with Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. So that's shot to cross from Dror Ba'aretz. What does it mean, L'chol Yishmeh, to all its inhabitants? So that's what the Gemara in the end of Erechin around Daf Mam Beis, the Gemara has a comment, that Yovel is only Noheg, that you have to blow Shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, and you have to say Malchus Rana Shofar on Yom Kippur, you have to blow Shofar al Seder Abrochus, just like Rosh Hashanah, Shofar HaYovel, LeRosh Hashanah, LeTkiyah VeLeBrochus. In Musav, you have to say Malchus Rana Shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, you have to blow Shofar also. So that's only Bizman Shekol Yoshveh HaLeo, when the majority of the world Jewish population is living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara seems to say that the Zaman Baisheni, there was no Yovel. I, the Mishnai, seem to say there was Yovel. So it says they observed Yovel mid the Rabbanim. But the Zaman is that we don't even have Yom Kippur. You don't even have Yovel mid the Rabbanim at all. Why not? That's a question. We should count Yovel as a blank year at least. There's a Machlokes HaTanaim. Do you count 7777 Le'olam Vora? Do you count 50-50-50-50? So we pass can, it's a machleg, it's a buda nachacham. So we pass can, you count 50-50, and the Yovel is a blank year. It doesn't belong to this, the last Shemitah doesn't belong to the next Shemitah. It's a blank year. And Bizman Azeh, that's the practice, that's what the Goyim say, just count 7-7, Le'olam Vod. So that's the Rambam that Rav Soloveitchik used to refer to. The Rambam says, he doesn't think the Goyim are right. It doesn't make any sense. Why should you count 7-7? You should count 50-50. You should count the Yovel as a blank year, even though we're not observing the Dinim, because we don't have Kol Yoshveh. You don't observe the Yovel, but you still count the Yovel as a blank year. But he says, even though he disagrees with the Goyim, he gives in to them, because they lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they used to practice Shemitah, and they observed. Every 70th year, they observed Shemitah. They didn't observe. They didn't count the 50th year as a blank year. But he says, we give in to the Goyim because the tradition, the way you fulfill a mitzvah, there's a tradition on it. And he lived in Chutz Lartz. He never lived in Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam. He says, the Goyim lived in, there were different Goyim. There were Goyim in Eretz Yisrael, there were Goyim in Bavel. So the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael were the ones who said that you don't count Yom Kippur as a blank year. That's the question. Why not? It doesn't make any sense. So the Meshech Chochma gives a whole Kabbalistic explanation why it changed. But Habayis and Lach Echorben Habayis. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik gives out there Chapshat why. Yovel doesn't happen by itself. The din is, Bez Nahagodl has to count every year. Sefrata Lacha Sheva Shabbat Shoshanim, Sheva Shoshanim, Sheva Pamim. The Bez Nahagodl has to count every year on the first day of the year, Rosh Hashanah. They say this is the first year of Shemitah, and then 7 years, and then they say the seventh year, this year is Shemitah. And when it comes to the 50th year, they said, this is the 50th year, we declare it as Yovel. So that was Nicha Bizman, Shebeis HaMikdash HaYikam, there was a Bez Nagorl that was counting. Bizman said, there is not Bez Nagorl counting. So you see, you can't say that the Yovel is a blank year. The Safar Telucha, you need the Sphira, the counting of the years. Is Ma'akev, if there's no Bez Nagorl counting the years, then Yom Kippur doesn't get off the ground, doesn't begin. So the din is that when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. So the Eved Ivri goes free. Of course, from Dror Baretz, freedom for the slaves, Eved Ivri. And so does Chosus Lebalaleim the Yovel. If a person has this day mikneh, he bought it. He didn't get it birusha from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. He bought it from someone else. That's his day mikneh. He has to give it back to the original owner who would have gotten it birusha from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So does chazus al baleim biyovel. So the head is a machlekes hatanoim. What about the pishnaim that the bchor gets? When it comes yovel, you have to give that back. Let's say we gave the case before. There were 10 sons. He divided the Yerusha into 11 shares, and the Bchor got 2/11. Then when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, so the one of the 2/11 that he got Yerusha, the extra one, when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, he wasn't entitled to that in the first place. So maybe that's like a steri mikne. So maybe that, when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, divided among all of the 10 brothers, each one gets 1/10. So that's a makhlekes satanoi. What do you have to give back the Yovel? Well, let's say the Chumash says if you have a stay mikneh, you bought it, you paid money, a mecher. I paid money for the sodeh. So then it goes back when Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. What if someone gave me the sodeh be matana? They say matana is kemecher, or matana is not kemecher. So that's a makhlekes hameya nachachamim. Mecher, the Torah says, you give back when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. Matana, there's no pasuk, so you can keep it even after Yovel. Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, you only have to give back mecher, not matana. Yerushalmi has, there's a machloikah, Satanam happens also to be a machloikah. What's the story with Maisu Sheni? Maisu Sheni is Mamun Gavoya or Mamun Bailim. So the Gemara in the end of the second parak in Kedushin said this is a rare exception to the rule. Machlokes is a Meir and a Chachami, Yochid v'Rabim, and the din is usually not like Rab Meir, not like the Yochid. Here the Gemara says we have a tradition, the din is like Rab Meir. The Maaseh Sheni is Mamun Gavoya. So the Maaseh Sheni is Mamun Gavoya. So what's the difference whether it's Mamun Gavoya and Mamun Bailim? The Gemara says, if it's Mamun Bailim, you can sell it and transfer ownership to somebody else. If it's Mamun Gavoya, you have no ability to sell it to someone else. So the Yerushalmi says, the beginning of Maseches Maaseh Sheni, what if I have a Maaseh Sheni, and it's too expensive for me to bring all the Maaseh Sheni to Yerushalayim? I want to give it away by Matana to someone else. Can you give away Maaseh Sheni by Matana to someone else? I can invite them to eat. If I have a lot of my, I can ask them, please eat the Maaseh Sheni, do me a favor. I can't eat so much Maaseh Sheni, you eat it. That I can do, but can I give it over with Matana to them? So the Yerushalmi says it depends, but the old Matana can mecher or not. If you hold Maaseh Sheni, Mamun Gavoya, that's how we pass Maaseh Sheni, Mamun Gavoya, then you don't have the ability to sell it. Maybe you do have the ability to give it to Matana. The Gemara says, if you hold Matana can mecher, then just like you can't sell it, you can't give it to Matana either. And if you have matana lav kemecher, then only mecher you can't sell. But you can give maaseh sheni to matana. Interesting. Yeah, how do we pass that? We pass matana is kemecher. That if I gave someone a soda in Eretz Yisrael, but matana, when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, I get it back. We pass matana is kemecher. And the same thing over there. We pass maaseh sheni is mamun gavoya. And because it's mamun gavoya, you have no ability to sell it to anybody else. And we say even to give it to matana also you can't. You can invite other people to eat, but you can't give over the ownership to the other person. It'll remain in your ownership. Because matana is kemecha, just like you can't sell the maaseh sheni, so too you can't, you're not able to give it to matana. Yeah, so the Mishnah is going to discuss a couple of funny cases over here regarding Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. When does the karka go back? Okay, maybe we'll have to save it for the next time. I want to say just a brief word about the Parsha. In Parsha's Truma, you have the beginning of Asiyas HaMishkan. So it says that the Chotzer HaMishkan was 50 amas wide and 100 amas long. A Beiso is 50 by 50. So the Chotzer HaMishkan was 100 by 50. That's Beiso Sayin. Chotzer HaMishkan was a Beis HaSayim 50 amas by 100 amas. So that was a Hayra Ashur for the Habayim Shana Bamidbar when they were traveling in Midbar. They had a Mishkan, so the Mishkan had, the Chotzah Mishkan was 50 by 100. Is there a Din L'Doris like that, that there's a Shir? So we have a Din L'Doris, a Din D'Rabbanan. On Shabbos, there is a Rishus HaYochad, there's a Rishus HaRabim, and everything, on the level of the Raisa, everything else which is neither Rishus HaYochad nor Rishus HaRabim is considered a Makom Ptur. But the Rabbana, they declared a lot of the Mekayim is Ptur. I mean, it's a Makom Ptur. But the Rabbana, they declared it as a Karmelist, so you're not allowed to carry there. And then some of the Mekayim is Ptur, they left it as Makom Ptur, so then you can carry whatever you want. So they made a din, another din with the Rabbana. If you have a Chotzer, Yosin Ebeis HaSaim Shalahukaf Ledira, you have an area that's enclosed with a fence. And it's not hukaf ledira. Hukaf ledira means you have a house there, and the house has a front lawn or a backyard. So the door from the house opens up. The door from the house is contiguous to this makam hukaf. So even though nobody eats or sleeps outside, let's say it's a freezing location in the North Pole, no one's going to sit there outside. It's too cold. Nobody eats outside, nobody sleeps outside. But since people live in the house has steam, and the house opens up, the pesach to the house opens up into the chotzer, so that chotzer is called hukaf ledira. So even if it's yosem beis asayim, it's a rishus hayochid, has a mechitza around it, it's a rishus hayochid. What if you have yosem beis asayim, it's bigger than 50 by 100, and lo hukaf ledira? There's no dira there. There's no dira. Let's say you have a farm. In Eretz, they have kibbutzim. They have religious kibbutzim. So they want to carry on Shabbos. So you can't make an area around the whole kibbutz, including all the farms, because they have things planting there. They have things planted there, so their makbid people shouldn't walk on it. They're going to ruin it. Certain seasons of the year, they're going to ruin all the vegetation, all the grain that's growing there. So whenever you plant things, that's lo hukaf ledira. So if you have a religious kibbutz, they can't have one big area around the whole kibbutz. They have to have many, many little, small eruvin. Each eruv has to be less than beis hasayim, less than 50 by 100 amos. If it'll be yosem beis hasayim, so the hook of ledira, then the eruv doesn't help, then you can't carry, and you can't even carry the rest of the eruv where there is dira, because nifritz lamakam asala. So that's a din mid rabbana, that's patterned after this din the raisa. But usually we say called the tikkun rabbana kein the raisa tikkun. Usually the din of the rabbana, that pattern after din of the raisa. Is there any din the raisa in Shabbos about an area that's mukaf mechitza yosem beis asayim? So the Tosfos and all the Rishonim have a kasha, and the Mishnah Brura quotes it in the section on Eruvin. The Gemara says a mechitza under the surface of the water is considered a mechitza. It's still considered, even though it doesn't protrude above the water. With the Rabbanan, it has to protrude a tefach above the water. But minatar, a mechitza below the surface of the water is good mechitza. So the Gemara, so the Tosfos and the Rishonim have a kasha. The Gemara knew that such a thing as a continental shelf. Every continent, if you go in by the beach, you go in far enough, the water will be deeper, 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 but you'll come to a point that there's going to be a sudden drop. And that sudden drop is going to be 10 tefachim tall. So every continent in the world is surrounded with a mechitza by the continental shelf. So every continent in the world should be a rishus hayochid. That's Tosfos Kashya. How do you ever have a rishus harabim? All continents in the world have a continental shelf. Continental shelf is a mechitza, more than 10 tefachim tall, even though the whole mechitza is below the surface of the water, but minatar, that's good. So every continent should be a rishus here. So the Rishonim work on that kasha. And they give three different, the Mishnah Berurah, because they give three different answers. So Tosfos' answer is a little unclear. And the Chazon Ish wrote in his sefer, he thinks that pshat in Tosfos like this. After the Chazon Ish passed away, then they printed the Tosfos HaRosh, who say exactly word for word what the Chazon Ish wrote. On the level of the Raisa, this plays a role a little bit. If you have an area that's loy hukaf ledira, mechitza bidei shamayim, yosin ebeis asayim shalu hukaf ledira. The original mocker, yosin ebeis asayim, is a chotzer amishkan. That has nothing to do with Shabbos. But there's a din in Hilchot Shabbos. If you have Rishus HaYochid with mechitzas, the mechitzas of the Beis Hamayim, and before Adam HaRishon came, before anybody went there, the continents had this continental shelf. So it's a mechitza b'dei shamayim for a continent that's yosef b'dei shamayim, way more than b'dei shamayim, and it's also rabbe m'mavat mechitza. The mechitza, the continental shelf, is so deep. It's not at the beginning of the beach. It's deeper into the ocean, deeper into the ocean. So it's so deep in the ocean, it doesn't prevent the flow of the ships. So mechitza is supposed to block the traffic. If you have a mechitza, the osur rabim about the mechitza, you can have boats go, people can swim on top of the continental shelf from one side to the other. So the mechitza below the water doesn't prevent the boats from going from one side to the other. So if you have all of these considerations together, mechitza b'dei shamayim, yosef b'dei shamayim, and osur rabim about the mechitza, so in the Torah, you put them all together, that's not called the Rishus HaYochid. So in the Rabbanan, they were machmer on each one of these bifnei atzmai. If you have a mokum hukav, shaloh hukav, ladir, yosim et beis asayim, they said we have to declare it as a karmelis in the Rabbanan. But it's interesting the way the Tanoim understood that yosim et beis asayim plays a role in the din deraisa of Hilchos Shabbos. That's how the Rishonim understood the Tanoim. So they made a Din DeRabbanan called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came the Rai's Tikkun, the whole institution of Karpif, that if you have Yosef and Beis HaSayim, it has a Mechitza, but Lo Hukav Fledira, you're not allowed to carry, doesn't have a Din Rishus HaYochid Mid DeRabbanan, that Chumrah was patterned after a Din DeRais. The Din DeRais is that Yosef and Beis HaSayim, if it's also Rabban about the Mechitza, if it doesn't prevent the flow of the traffic, and it's a mechitza b'dei shamayim, so then it's not a rishus hayochid. The Ramban has a different sheet, a totally different answer. He also has to come up with a klal. So he says if it's too wide an area, if you make a mechitza around one version of the Ramban, the Ritva's version of Ramban, even a mechitza b'dei yodim, let's say make the big wall of China. You put a big wall around all of China, you put a big wall around the whole United States of America. I feel mechitza b'dei yodim. So someone who lives in Wyoming does not have claustrophobia. He doesn't feel I'm in a room, so I see all the walls around the room. I see I'm closed in over here. If someone's going to be in Wyoming and Oklahoma, he's not going to feel closed in. If there are walls between the East Coast and the West Coast and between Canada and Mexico, the walls are so far away, he doesn't have the sense of being enclosed if you're in the middle. So that's the Ritva's version of the Ramban. Afil mechitza b'dei odom also wouldn't be. So that's a question how wide an area is. It's talking about a 1,000 miles, 500 miles. How many miles is it? So that's what Moshe quotes from the Mishnah Brura. He gives a shir, a Mishnah Mcheres. And the next Perek Mcheres, he gives him Perek Maisa Behem. Okay. Well, now the next week maybe we'll talk a little bit about the Inyan Purim, yeah. And then we'll try to finish the Perek. I think maybe after we finish the Perek, there isn't too much left here to discuss, very little left. So maybe we should go back to the first Perek. We have a practice of Mechiras Chometz that's quite a few centuries old. All the Balabatim asked the rabbi to sell the Chometz. So the Mechiras Chometz practice that we have is patterned after the Chiras Behemah HaMevakeres. That's based on the first Perek and the beginning of the second Perek on Perek. So maybe we'll learn the first Perek, and we'll see what the basis of why we make six Kinyonim when we do Mechiras Chometz. What do you need six Kinyonim for? Everything is based on the Gemaras. So Belinetta, next week we'll do Inyan Purim. And then we'll continue back where we are here. And then when we finish the Perek about Pidyon HaBen, I think maybe we'll go back to the first Perek. Okay? We should all be healthy.
Rabbi, I have a kasha on last week's shiur. At the end, the Rebbe gave his Dvar Torah on Kimu V'Kiblu at the time of Purim and the time of the Megillah.
Yes.
In Mishpatim, in the last Perek of Mishpatim, Bnei Yisrael say to Moshe, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma.
Right.
How does that differ from Kimu V'Kiblu?
The Gemara Masechah Shabbos says, commenting on the pasuk "Vayis Yatzu B'Sach Tischahor" in Parshas Yisro, "Nalam Shekafa Leim Har Kegigas," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced the Torah on the Jewish people. They didn't want to accept it. So Tosfos says, "How can it be?" But it says, "Nasam Inishma." They accepted Beratzon. So Tosfos gives an answer. So the Mefarshim tell you, look in the Medrash Tanchuma on Parshas Noach, where there's a long essay. And the essay says as follows, Medrash Tanchuma, it's pretty old Medrash. So the Medrash Tanchuma says, Moshe Rabbeinu presented the Torah Shebichsav to the Jewish people. He said, that's not bad, not so complicated. So they said, Nasam Nishma. Then he said, no, but there's a Torah Shebalpeh. And the Torah Shebalpeh has not only the Gemara, it has the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach and the Taz and the Pesachei Tshuva and the Darkei Tshuva and so many Svarim, the Chazon Ish. This is all part of the Torah Shebalpeh. So that they said, whoa, that's too complicated. Too many details, that's way too complicated. So that was Kaf Aleim Har Kegigas. So because the first Kabbalah Satorah was only Beratzon on the Torah Shebichsav, and the Torah Shebalpeh, they weren't keen, they didn't want to accept it, because it's Koshe Kishol Kinur Shafeha Rish Ve'esh, that's the Lashon that the Medrash Tanchuma quotes based on the Psukim and Shir HaShirim. It's too very difficult, very complicated, very difficult to learn the Torah Shebalpeh and to live up to the details of the Torah Shebalpeh. And that's why Bnei Yisrael were not keen about accepting that. So that was keen of the Kiblu, had the Kiblu of the Me'ach HaShverish. That would be Mekabel, the Torah Shebalpeh again. So that's why there was, when they wrote the Megillah Esther was referred to as Dibri Shalom Ve'emes. And the Megillah, Dibri Shalom Ve'emes.
Right.
So the Gemara says, Kamito Shel Torah. The Megillah Esther is like the real McCoy. So it's like the Sefer Torah is a Sefer HaBris. The original Sefer HaBris at Maamar HaSinai was from Bereishis till the end of Mishpatim. But then at the end of the 40 years in the Midbar, the whole Chamish Shel Chamshei Torah had the status of the Sefer HaBris. So just like the Chamish Shel Chamshei Torah with the Sefer HaBris for so many generations, Megillah Esther is now the new Sefer HaBris. And that was a big machloikis, should it be part of Kisvei HaKodesh or not? Because the Torah Shebichsav, they were mekabel at HaSinai, it was the Torah Shebalpeh that they didn't want to be mekabel. So that Hodei Kiblu and Me'ach HaShverish was really on the Torah Shebalpeh. So there was an ongoing debate for years, from before the Bayi Sheni being built, till deep into the days of the Amoraim. There was a machloikis where the Megillah Esther is part of the Kisvei HaKodesh or not? Are there 24 Svarim in Kisvei HaKodesh? Or the 23? When they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found a library with 23 Svarim. It didn't have Megillah Esther. So they weren't sure whether it was out on loan, or in that community, they only had 23 Svarim. They held Megillah Esther was part of Torah Shebalpeh. So that was a debate for years and years, till finally, in the days of the Amoraim, it was finally decided for good. The 24 Svarim. But even so, the Gemara points out, Megillah says, the Nikra Sefer and Nikra Sigeris. On the one hand, it's Sefer, like part of the Tanakh, part of Kisvei. On the other hand, it's Torah Shebalpeh. So it doesn't have all the dinim like regular Torah Shebalpeh, like the regular Kisvei HaKodesh. Gemara has slightly off, slightly different, because it was really the Kima of the Kibble was on the Torah Shebalpeh, and it has one leg in the Kisvei HaKodesh, one leg out. It's partially Torah Shebalpeh, partially Torah Shebichsav, because the whole need for the second Kabbalah Satorah was only to be Mekabalah Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebichsav, the Mekabalah already at Har Sinai. That's the rest of that story about Kimel V'Kibul.
Rabbi, a few weeks ago you spoke about a Kohen getting a right to Truma if he always got it every single year.
Right.
To what extent does he have possession in that truma?
If we know that this farmer plans to give, he always gives the truma to the same kind. The Gemara says it's not proper to give all of your matonis. There are 24 matonis kunas. If you're always going to give everything to the same kind, so what are the other kohanim going to live on? So that's not a nice idea. But the pinyan, let's say in my family, whenever there would be a pinyan aben, they would give it to my brother-in-law, Pesach. Pesach was a kohen, and he did all the pinyan abens. If they would have truma, they give it to a different kohen. Yeah. If you would have ma'aseh and ma'aseh, give it to a third kohen. It's not proper to give all the matonas to the same kohen, but if the family always gives this to the kohen, so then we consider it as if it's already shaloya b'shusai. We consider it as if it already belongs to that kayim.
Why isn't that an issue of a davar shelo b'lo'olam?
No, before you mafresh the truma, it doesn't exist yet. Even though the tvua exists, the peris exists. But before you mafresh, it doesn't belong to Shevet Kuna. Once the farmer declares, I raise a truma l'Hashem, this should be truma, that it belongs to the Shevet Kuna. The Shevet Kuna consists of so many members, but since we know that they're all going to give it to this particular kohen, we consider it, that's what some Rishonim say, we consider it as if Shevet Kuna only consists of one member, this one kohen. Because from the moment you say Hareza Truma, it already belongs to the Shevet Kuna. Shevet Kuna has thousands of members. But if you know whom you're going to give it to, we consider it as if the Shevet Kuna only has the one member. All the others are messiahish from it. That's how Rashi writes. All the other members of Shevet Kuna, no, they're not going to get it, so they're messiahish from it. We consider it as if Shevet Kuna only has one member, this individual, this particular claim.
So does he have the actual right to sell it or do whatever he wants with it?
Yeah, that's how the Gemara. He can make Mekadosh and Isha with it already now, before they gave it to him, because we know that they're going to give it to him.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Rabbi, last week you said that if there's a halvah, it's considered roi to the yorshim. If let's say the halvah had...
Halvah is roi for the bechor. The bechor doesn't
for
get...
the bechor, right.
Right.
So if let's say there was a mashkan that was being held, is that still considered roi, or is that mochzak?
I don't remember. It must be beferish. You got to look it up. It should be beferish in Shulchan Aruch. I don't remember.
Okay.
There is a din balchov kona mashkin. When the loiva gives a mashkin to the malva, the mashkin is considered as if it's the physical embodiment of the chayv. Chayv is usually an abstract debt, but if you give a mashkin, it's considered as if the mashkin is the physical embodiment of the debt. So it could be that it is called mursak. I don't remember the din. It should be the famous one way or the other. Got to look it up.
Okay, thank you.
Very good.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.